Blog Talk Radio.
Get busy.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez,
Gear,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
That ball. Once again, it's on. Welcome to another edition of your favorite sports show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. We're your distinguished panel of hosts. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here with Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, Paul Johnson, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. We got a great show for you tonight. The NBA and NHL are down to their final stretches. The NCAA Final Four is set, and today is MLB opening day. What more can you ask for? We want you guys to join in on the conversation tonight, so when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, call in and holler at the fellas. That number is 323-410-0012. But right now, Jimmy's going to let us know who's having some birthdays.
My birthday! Yay!
What's up, good brothers? Y'all ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get money. All right. First birthday I want to talk about, Steven. Steve Delano Smith, he turns 42. When I say Steven Smith, what is the first thing that you think of?
I think of that baseline hesitation half spin move.
Nasty.
Like he was one of the slowest two guards in NBA history, but nobody can guard that move. Nobody.
Yo, he was slow. His ups wasn't like that, but he had major game and a major bank shot, yo.
Yeah, he had a stiff-looking game.
Dr. Bay, the basketball connoisseur, what do you think when I say Steven Smith?
Yo, I have some points. I have when he played for the Heat, he went baseline spin while Michael Jordan was checking him, and he dunked it with two hands. You rarely saw that happen. Mike was checking him in the post. He abused Kobe in the post when he was with Portland in the playoffs and regular season. And with his half spin, he used to kill dudes with his baseline half spin. I remember playing at Delaware State when I was at Howard, drove baseline, then I was stuck, and I was like, I don't have nothing left to do. Then I did the baseline half spin, went for a reverse layup, got fouled. I was like, yo, Steve Smith got me some buckets.
Shout out to Steve Smith for helping Dr. Bay get it in. Pause. Yo, Austin, the Hot Block Commander, what you got when I say Steve Smith?
Austin, he had to step up.
I'm here, y'all. I'm here. The Hot Block Commander is here. Don't worry, have no fear. Steve Smith, it's pretty much what all of y'all said. The dude was non-athletic. I distinctly remember that Portland Lakers series because it was like a pickup game, and everybody on the bench was like standing up and telling me, yeah, go at Kobe, go at the young boy, put Steve in the post. And he like put Kobe in the torture rack that game. But we all know whose career is going to end up, you know.
Yeah. Yo, personally,
shout
though, when I think of
Steve Smith,
I think of, like, he played the two guard with a major post game. And also,
major.
He's one of the guys that gave a lot of money back and did a lot of community service that never goes recognized because he never actually looked for the recognition, you know. So I do remember that about him. A lot of community service awards. Anyway, the next birthday I'm going to get into.
Yo, real quick, people forget he came in the league playing the point, too.
Yeah.
He was
supposed to be the
next
Magic. Definitely was. Anyway, next birthday real quick is James DeAndre Jones, who's the wide receiver for the bowl champion
Yay!
Green Bay Packers. I know what Dev going to say, so hold up, Dev. But Dr. Bayon, when I say James Jones, what's the first thing you think of?
Average to above average receiver for the Packers. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got, Austin. What you got when I say James Jones?
I can you woo woo woo?
What?
Yo, right. Like he looked like he's an R&B star from the '70s, but he didn't.
Yo, Dev, go ahead. Say your piece. Killy.
Yo, I think of my man Bang 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 when he was in Vampire in Brooklyn and he told the boy Kadeem Hardison, "You've got the dropsies." That's all I got.
Yo, I knew he was going to say that because, yo, we talked about it several times watching Packers games this season. Yo, dude, like, will make a catch that he's not supposed to and drop wide open passes.
Shout out to
Braylon Edwards.
Yo, so happy birthday to that good brother. Now, next one I want to talk about is, remember this guy, Herman Reed Jr., better known as J.R. Reed.
My birthday!
Now,
yay!
Personally, when I think of J.R. Reed, I think of his haircut. He used to rock the Jeff and put in work. But, Dev, what you got on J.R. Reed?
I think he was one of the biggest busts in NBA history. You know, he had a lot of hype in college, Sports Illustrated covers, stuff like that. But J.R. Reed was a bum, yo.
Yo, Austin, what you got on J.R. Reed?
Yo, War Room World and fans, look at me. Look me in my eyes right now. I'm better than J.R. Reed.
Dr. Bay, what you got on J.R. Reed?
Yo, his haircut was weak. Even during that time, his haircut was weak.
Yo, that's what I think of, the real talk.
And his game was weak. Like, all I got for J.R. Reed, man, is...
Oh, you bum.
Yeah, he was in college he had a whack haircut. Yo, the young boy from Kentucky Knight is giving him a run for his money because his hairline is trash. Anyway, the last Robert birthday.
The middle of his shape up.
Yo, the middle of his shape up is trash. Yo, anyway, the last birthday I want to talk about is the old head, the pimp, Walter Clyde Frazier.
My birthday, yay!
Austin,
it's his birthday. It's funny.
Austin, what you think of when I say? What you think of when I say Walt Frazier?
Yo, why did they allow him on TV, man? He sets black people back 50 years, and I don't care what his intentions are because he uses so many words out of context. It's ridiculous, indubitably.
Yo, it's very entertaining, though. The boy got an exotic vocabulary and an exotic blazer game. Dr. Bay, what you got on Walt Clyde Frazier?
Yo, I caught some of the Knicks replay, Knicks versus Magic, and homie said, the Knicks, they don't have their perpetual motion anymore or continuity. They're caught with stagnation. I was like, come on, man.
He got an exotic vocabulary.
Real quick, did he write that part for the dude in Living Color when Damon Wayans was in prison using all the words?
I think so. My brother.
Yo, Dev, what you got on the ball, man?
Man, same thing, man. Indubitably. The Knicks are running and gunning, dishing and swishing. Like, yo, what are you talking about, man? Yo, and I've been to the Garden several times, and I mean, I know y'all seen it on TV, but yo, in person, his suits are even worse, man. Yo, he's still wearing suits from when he was getting money back in the 70s.
He gotta get his money up.
He think it's cool. Yo, that's all.
Yo, the thing is, he get his money out of them clothes because he been wearing them threads for like 30 years. He be ragging
and
them.
And that's exactly what they are.
They are threads.
He was
vines.
Threads.
What vines I'm going to put on? He's still rocking vines.
Anyway, that's all the birthdays I got, Dev.
My birthday!
What happened? Both people on the grind.
All right. I'm going to let everybody out there know what happened today and earlier this week. While y'all were on the grind trying to get that money. All right, fellas. First story is hilarious to me, man. 48-year-old pitcher, y'all know him well, Jamie Moyer, he's having Tommy John surgery. But here's the kicker. He plans to return and pitch again in 2012. Yo, when is he going to quit? He's 48.
Yo.
He's going to be 49 by the time he comes back, pushing 50. His birthday is in November.
Yo.
Jim, what's up with your man?
Yo, my question is, didn't he play with Tommy John?
Yo. You know what I think it is? I think he's pressed to try to get to that 300 win mark, so he's going to play until he's like 57 to try to do it. 300 wins is
crazy.
Like an automatic Hall of Fame berth in Major League Baseball. So
maybe he just don't like his wife and he don't want to spend no time at home. So you know, he can keep playing as long as I can.
And in the meantime, join the Baseball Tonight crew on ESPN. Go ahead, Austin.
I'm gonna be real brief and quick. My man Ricky Waters said it best. For who? For what?
Have no idea, man. I don't know. Kill, what you think about your old head, man? He won't give it up.
Yo, I think he's trying to go for the record and be like 50, you know, 53 years old pitching. 50 years old pitching, that's all.
Satchel Paige already locked that down.
He and Bernard Hopkins is not going to quit. Anyway, his next story is from one of the hottest topics in the war room. India beat Pakistan in the semis of the Cricket World Cup. What y'all know about cricket? What y'all know about cricket? No, but seriously, though, this was like a huge deal. Because, as we all know, these are like two feuding nations. Like, India and Pakistan rumble for real all the time. So they said there was over 100 million viewers to this cricket match.
Damn.
But look, this
Yo,
is the question I got
kill,
for y'all.
Me,
can any of y'all tell me what they do in cricket? What the hell is cricket?
I'm gonna go here with it. Yo, did y'all know that a cricket match lasts 8 hours and it's never less than six?
Really?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I know
at
some points in the game it looks similar to baseball, but it's not quite baseball. And they use paddles.
Yo, we spent 2 minutes talking about cricket, yo.
Hey, yo, I gotta say something about cricket.
I don't know what that is, so I'm going to say yes.
All right, well, here's a crazy one. All right, Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight film. You know, now he's the vice president and a TV analyst for the Hawks. Yo, he was attacked last night by a 36-year-old fan after the Hawks. Yo, this is the kicker, though. The dude used to be an NBA referee. And Neek allegedly owed him money for some custom made suit. What's up with him jumping out of the crowd? Y'all hear about that?
I did hear about it, but come on, man, you can't handle your business
the
other way. You're gonna
rumble. I know why the rumble went down for real, though.
What?
I know why the rumble went down. That fan was upset that they traded Jordan Crawford because Jordan Crawford was giving LeBron and Dwayne Wade all they needed in that Wizards game. And he was upset about that trade.
That's true. When they made that trade, we was clowning them saying they got the wrong Crawford, but I don't know. But listen, this is two sides. Y'all know it's two sides to every story. Now, this dude, Rashawn Michelle, this is his side of the story. Like I said, he's a former NBA ref. He claims that he was calmly – oh, first of all, I didn't tell y'all. It backfired on him anyway because sources say that Neek whooped his ass. So he jumped out of the crowd trying to handle his business, and some source said Neek hit him. He hit him with like a nice three-piece, pummeled him before the security guy.
And gave him a biscuit.
But this is what the guy said. He said he was calmly trying to work out a deal for the money that he was owed for his custom suits, and Neek yelled, you know, like, Marshall, fuck you. That's basically what he said.
Damn.
So seeing what was going on, security wrestled the dude, Rashawn Michelle, to the ground, and he said that's when Neek pummeled him a little bit. So he basically saying it wasn't fair. He said he got tackled to the ground by security, and then Neek hit him with a three-piece without that biscuit. And
hey,
now
he
still,
Now you might get your money another way, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
you know, it's all going to work out for him.
Yeah, so he's going to get that money and some more. I don't know, but, I mean, they love Neek in Atlanta, so what witness is going to say that what this dude said is true?
All men love men in Atlanta.
All men love men.
That's a good point.
Yo, what's up with
Atlanta?
Yo, what's up with like people with more money burning people with less money nowadays? You had, you know, O.J. Mayo burning Tony Allen for the money and fumbling Mayo and
with
that people not paying
their debts. The problem is, you said nowadays. That's been going on since the beginning of time, good brother.
Yeah, that's true. But now, you know what it is?
People with money don't respect people without money.
Yeah,
just
well, it is. Internet now.
Just ask the Indians about the Pilgrims.
That's true.
What are you saying, Kill?
No, I was saying now with the internet, I guess you get to hear about all these stories. But before, it was just, you know, whoever you knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, all right, last story. All right, you know your boy Jay-Z, he visited the Kentucky locker room after their victory over Carolina for a berth in the Final Four. So basically, NBA rules prohibits team personnel from having any contact with players not yet draft eligible. So needless to say, the NBA is probing into the situation. Jimmy, what you think about your man's visit into the locker room?
Listen, he can make any excuse he wants to, but the bottom line is he's a fraud. I mean, maybe he was going in there to give the kids camel rides. Who knows?
Damn. Camel rides. Bayon, what you think?
Yo, he should have realized that. I think he might have forgot. He might have forgot that he was the owner. He might have been like, well, I only own 7%. Let me go hang out and draw, you know,
dude,
with this team.
I don't know who told you that.
Or
own like 0.007%.
Okay.
It's probably really easy to forget when you own less than a percent.
Hey, look, he still got
power.
Regardless of what it is, he got ownership. He's an idiot. He just wanted to, like, you know, anytime anything's hot, he wants to put his name, attach his name to it. So
I was just about to say
he was doing he was doing what typical camels do. You know what I'm saying?
I was about to ask.
Camels are definitely known. Camels are definitely known to run to the spotlight.
I do get the feeling sometimes that Jay is a bit of a front runner, and you know, it rubs off on his jumper.
Somebody asked him in an interview like years ago. They was like, yo, who's your favorite? You're from New York. You're from Brooklyn. Who's your favorite team? And he was like, whoever is winning.
Wow. So nobody can call us up or get in the chat room and say we hating because he admitted it himself. Whoever's winning. He was at the Knicks-Nets game the other day. Even though he's the owner, he probably was rooting for the Knicks. That's what happened, everybody. That's what happened. While y'all were on that crime.
Yo.
That's your man.
But that's your man.
That's your man.
Y'all ready to pass that rock, yo?
Let's pass that rock.
Just to let everybody know, Pass the Rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. And for those who don't know, Pass the Rock is with a starting five vent on their chosen sports issue or report their favorite headline of the week. And I'm going to bring the rock up. So
shut up, you
Let's get it started. What's up, War Room? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Jimmy Two Times. Got to get the papers. And this week, I want to talk about amateur athletics. That's right, I said amateur athletics. Now, I can't express how much I enjoyed this year's men's NCAA tournament. I enjoyed watching Butler win very competitive games, and I also enjoyed watching Joey Rodriguez run point for VCU looking like Ed Booger Smith, and also enjoyed Kimber Walker doing his Danny Manning impersonation while leading UConn. However, the amalgamation of the press conferences from the tournament, this HBO special I watched last night on college athletes taking money, and interviews from the McDonald's High School All-American game made me wonder, how many of these kids have ever been to an English class? Have you heard these guys talk? Now, I know you may wonder why I'm talking about this issue or even why I even thought about this issue, but my mind works differently than most. While watching sports, this is something that I actually sat there and thought of. Honestly, Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses can't define how I'll be dropping these mockeries. At any rate, back to my issue. Instead of worrying about which athlete is taking money, how about investigating how many athletes can speak English? I understand certain areas have certain accents, but there is no such word as athleticism or fundamentalism, which are words I heard used by several athletes over this past week. I don't care how athletic you are or how much money you have, if you talk this way, the bottom line is you should be neutered. So to the NCAA, do me a favor. Stop being a ho-happy Jackie who is only worried about money and open up an investigation on how many student athletes read on an eighth grade reading level. I'm nice. And I see my man B. Austin cutting down the lane, so I'm going to throw the rock to B. Austin.
Oh, man, I thoroughly enjoyed that. These dudes don't go to class and never have. Ladies, gentlemen, loved ones, family, friends, fans, haters, lemmings, lowlifes, toots, and trollops, and good people of the war room. I believe that basketball, and almost all sports for that matter, are opportunities to work on every facet of your humanity and character that are used within the context of the beautiful game that you're playing. We can go with the intangibles such as leadership, toughness, selflessness, and just character in general, or we can go with the tangibles, footwork, jump shot, post game, passing, defense. I found that the desire to be the very best in the game, or the very best that you can be, coupled with a disdain and a hatred for losing, will eventually bring about the very best a player can be. It will turn an average player into a very good one. Steve Nash, it'll turn a very good into a great. Reggie Miller, and great into a basketball god, MJ. Now, you may ask, why am I going on to this little diatribe? Well, I went to the Heat Wizards game last night, and I noticed a few things. LeBron James is probably a top five player from a talent perspective who ever walked the earth. But I see in him that he doesn't hate to lose. As one of our friends of the show mentioned, shout out to my man Jeremy Quinn, he doesn't care. It's just a game. It's not about winning or losing. It's just a game. And that's going to hinder him from being the absolute best that he can be. The responsibility of winning a game in the face of adversity, it just cracks his pipes. They burst. So you guys can take all the stats, take all the talent, and what does it really mean? If in the final 2 minutes, the moments whose sum total may equal the value of the previous 46 minutes, you want to curl up in your mommy's lap. Or you're thinking about the groupies waiting in the tunnel or at the hotel. How can we start discussing greatness and Hall of Fame and GOAT, greatest of all time? This would apply to what I see in LeBron and definitely what I see in Shaq. So hopefully LeBron wises up, finds some character, and maybe we can see him in the Hall of Fame one day. I'm done. Passing the rock, I see my man Dev cutting. Go holler at them peoples.
All right. What up, everybody? Yeah, that's kind of crazy. We get into them arguments almost every day about LeBron versus the best in the game. He got a lot of intangibles to work on. He's a beast athletically, but, you know, he got a lot of intangibles to work on. So, all right, a little over 2 weeks ago, the NFL announced that they would not be disciplining any player conduct infractions that may occur during the lockout period. Really, I don't even know why they felt the need to announce that, considering that they have no right to discipline anyone while there's no collective bargaining agreement. Anyway, ever since this announcement has been made, the police blotter has been, how should I say, blotting. I'll begin with some of the more tame accusations and end this with some more serious offenses. Cowboys young receiver Dez Bryant, as we all know, was ejected from an upscale Dallas shopping mall after he allegedly broke out into a profanity-laced tirade after he and his buddies were confronted by Paul Blart Mall Cop about their sagging pants. Eagles snap-jumping left tackle Jason Peters was arrested in Shreveport, Louisiana, for violating the city's noise ordinance due to the volume of the music coming from his car. When asked to produce his driver's license, he refused, prompting the officer to tack on another charge of resisting arrest. He is now out on $628 bond. $628. Packers defensive end Johnny Jolly is currently in jail and will remain there at least until his next hearing on April 20th for his recent arrest on felony drug charges. police found 600 grams of codeine in his car when he was stopped in Houston, Texas last week. He's currently on probation for a similar charge stemming from a 2008 arrest. If he's convicted, he'll certainly serve jail time, considering a conviction would be a violation of his probation. Lastly, and not because there aren't any more, just because I'm out of time, we have Buccaneers cornerback Talib Kweli. Talib and his mother, Okolo Talib, allegedly fired a gun at his sister's boyfriend during an incident in Garland, Texas. Dude is out on $25,000 bond and faces up to 20 years in the pokey if convicted. This is a little besides the point, but I have two questions. One, how the hell can two people fire one gun? Like pop, pop, pass or something? Somebody just needs to take the rap for this and just get it over with. Question number two, why the hell is everybody getting in trouble in Texas? Anyway, the NFL needs to hurry up and get a deal done because their players are obviously bored. They need to be at some OTAs or something so they won't be sagging in malls, banging whack rappers at 200 decibels, sipping on that scissor, or trying to murk their potential brothers-in-law. They better hurry before next season is yet another remake of The Longest Yard. And if you haven't seen those movies, then you probably didn't get that, but that's your bad. Get your movie game up. I'm done. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Dr. Bayon.
Yo, that's crazy. 600 grams of codeine. That's 1.3 pounds of codeine. That's crazy.
Codeine was forcing you to drink. You had a navy green salamander pee, but you never heard you scream.
Yep.
All right. Hey, good evening, War Room family. On the heels of all the Dez Bryant fiasco, we all have heard about Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant and his crew sagging pants incident at an upscale Dallas mall last week. And regardless of how that really went down and who was telling the truth, it was an incident that should have been avoided. Now, former Dallas Cowboys cornerback Neon Deion Primetime Sanders said that Bryant's actions at the mall were ignorant and said he needs help. Sanders said, quote, "He needs help. He needs help. I told the Cowboys from day one that he needs help. Matter of fact, they have a team in place to help him, but you cannot tell a grown man what to do," end quote. Sanders has mentored Bryant in the past, but has severed ties with Bryant. Sanders said, quote, "I haven't spoken to the kid. I have no desire to speak to the kid. In regards to me, I can forgive, but I can't forget. You can't tarnish the other things that I have going on in other kids. It's sort of like I can't allow something to poison the fruit of many other kids. I can't do it. So I cut off those ties a long time ago," end quote. Now, this week, Bryant has found himself in the news again, facing two separate lawsuits for money he allegedly owes people. In the first lawsuit, he owes $246,000 to a New York-based jeweler, and in the second lawsuit, he owes $600,000 to a Dallas-area jeweler, who's also a ticket broker, who says he gave Bryant a combination of sporting events tickets, cash for spending money before the NFL draft, and various items that included two engagement rings, tennis bracelets, iced-out dog tags, an iced-out Cartier watch, and about 30 other jewelry items. Now, Bryant has made $2.8 million in salary and bonuses this year, and after taxes, he is left with $1.8 million. After this lawsuit, he will have to fork over the $850,000 owed and probably another $100,000 in damages and lawyer fees. That will leave him with $800,000 to live off this year, so I hope he manages the rest of his money better from here on out. For the record, after taxes, he is guaranteed $3.7 million from the Cowboys under his current five-year, $12 million contract. Dez, real talk, if you need an advisor, go to our warroomsports.com website and holler at Bay Financial Services. They'll take care of you because we don't want to see you in our next Mo Money, More Problems segment, part five, about athletes who
blowing money fast.
And with that, I'm done, and I will throw a behind-the-back, left-handed pass to TJ.
Mr. Bay, man, it's crazy. Dez Bryant's situation is just off the hook, cuz, completely. Today, War Room Land, minions, lemmings, cousins, I want to talk briefly about an obtuse, nonsensical, moronic cretin. You guessed it. Philadelphia Eagles' own, my homie, Jason Peters. This oversized buffoon was arrested Saturday night, as Devin alluded to, while leaving a Rick Ross concert for a loud music violation. Reports say that police asked Peters to turn down the music in his car several times, and he refused. He reportedly also refused to show the police his ID. How ridiculously stupid is that? Of all the battles that you'll ultimately fight in your life, going at it with the police over the volume of your music is just not a wise choice. And assuming that this was an aftermarket car stereo system making all this noise, who the hell is still putting systems in their whip in 2011? I thought car systems played out at the turn of the millennium. So not only are you an overgrown sack of rotten buffalo bile fluid who is weak and insecure with an ego that rivals the size of your waistline, you're also a corny, played-out, no-good, rotten catfish vulture in need of a style makeover. Like I told you last time, locate the nearest pit of unfortunate and get your Michael Phelps on. Maybe that will keep your big dumbass out of trouble. And with that, I ended on a positive note and freak him. I come to a jump stop, pump fake this big oaky dude, throw up a teardrop, scrapes the rafters, comes down the speed of a bullet, nothing but net.
Now that was a nice shot, brother.
Thanks, boss.
Warroom World, check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual emails can be found on that page. Also, I want you to become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. I want you to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. And I want you to subscribe and become a fan of ours on our YouTube channel. Yeah, that's right. We in TV, too. www.warroomsportstv. Don't forget the TV.com. For general inquiries, business-related preferably, please email us at info@warroomsports.com. Now join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now, during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. And if you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter account. And don't front, because everybody got one. Now while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours at All's Fair in Sports and War on the blog tab on our website. Once again, that's warroomsports.com/blog, or you can catch the blog tab. Please also make sure that you subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So get your inquiries up and get your learn on. To call in and speak to the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012 and then press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you need to talk, and you'll get pumped right in to our studios live in L.A. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, one of the War Room generals might just call on you, give you a West Point lesson. All right, gentlemen, what's going on in the chat room?
Yo, chat room crazy right now, fam. Talking about Neek and his whole situation with, fighting the referee.
Put the ball to sleep.
They said the ball got a couple of black eyes or something. I ain't see it. Have y'all seen the picture of the dude? I ain't seen it.
Nah, I didn't see the picture. But
Let's get into this segment real quick. We're a few minutes behind. This segment is one of our favorite new segments, and it's been getting a lot of run on Facebook with Jimmy's videos. We're going to play a round of HOF or FOH. Now, since it's baseball opening day, we wanted to go with a baseball player today, but we've been on Facebook all day, and NBA players have been getting a lot of run, so we're going to go with another NBA player today, fellas. And today's subject is one Mr. Mark Jackson, point guard for the New York Knicks, L.A. Clippers, Indiana Pacers, and three games with the Houston Rockets. And one season with the Utah. He played for everybody, man. So who want to go first? This B. Austin. I'm gonna pick on you.
Yes, sir.
Mark Jackson. Should Mark Jackson be a Hall of Famer, or should Mark Jackson fall out of here?
This is a tough one for me because, you know, Mark Jackson really wasn't one of my favorite players, so I don't give him that much thought. I do love his commentation. His commentator game is like that, especially when he's partnered with Van Gundy. So I'm gonna go Hall of Fame based on the fact that he leads. He's I think third all time in assists, and I think he's also in the top five in steals. So, you know, he got his D on. But I could certainly see how somebody would say that he's not a Hall of Famer because it's really questionable as to how much he contributed on the teams that he was on and why did he get traded so much.
Jimmy.
So I'll say Hall of Fame.
Yo, Mark Jackson, Marshall Faulk out of here. Yo, there's no way he's a Hall of Famer. Yo, I put his brother Escalade in the Hall of Fame before I put him in the Hall of Fame. Yo, I don't care how many assists you get. First off, some of them assists were fraudulent anyway. He just throw it in the post and Ewing makes 16 moves and score and they're giving him an assist. Second off, no, yo, how many points did he average a game?
9.6.
Okay, he's in. Come on, man. Cut it out. Hey, Austin, cut it out, man. There's no way he's a – how is he a Hall of Famer? Because he's number three in assists? That just means he played a long damn time.
Yo,
so if you can
played,
sit around and just
– He played, I want to say, like 21 years, something like that.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Yo, you
played
21 years?
Like 87 to 17. Yeah.
17 seasons.
He played 17 seasons and compiled a bunch of numbers. That doesn't make you a Hall of Famer, yo. He's not a Hall of Famer. In my opinion, a Hall of Fame is for greatness. I can't think of one signature Mark Jackson play. I can't. If I'm building a
Mark
team,
had a little teardrop with them. Mark
yo,
had a little teardrop with them thick ass.
Put it like this.
Used to wear.
Put it like this. Here's what I'm gonna ask you guys: if you're building a team and you can have any player of all time, how many point guards would you go through before you get to Mark Jackson?
It'll be more than
all time.
15.
It'd be more than two.
How much paper you got that I can list on?
Exactly.
How much paper you got?
Yo,
I need a binder's
case.
Worth.
I
take Kenny
Jones
and give me G.
Hey, I
take
J. You know what? Hey, you know what, Jimmy?
You just
changed my mind live on
thank
the air.
Thank you, good brother.
In front of all
yo,
these,
I, yo,
all
yo put it like this. How many of y'all guys seen Soul in the Hole?
Yeah.
Nah.
You would take Booger. I would take Ed Booger Smith over Mark Jackson, yo. If y'all see that movie Soul on the Hole, I'd take Ed Booger Smith before I take Mark Jackson, yo.
Seriously, I'd take Rod Strickland before I took Mark Jackson.
Oh! Yo,
yeah, me too. Rod the guard. Hey, yo.
I take Mochi.
I tell you this. I ain't got a lot to say because I'm on the same side of James Williams. So I'm going to say Franklin, Orndorff, Harrison.
And for those of y'all that's slow, that's FOH.
Yo, I would take Sad Eye. I'd take Sad Eye before I take Mark Jackson. Honestly, though.
I take Kareem Towns. I take Kareem Towns from LaSalle and South Philly before I take Mark Jackson.
I'm not even saying this because it's my comrade. I take Paul Johnson over Mark Jackson. Yo, real talk.
Come on, man. You got me a little blushing, man. It's like, no, for Mark is not a bum. Mark isn't a bum. I mean, he was a good point guard. He was. He was a good floor general. He was a good facilitator, man. I wouldn't put him in a great class or Hall of Fame class, but I will say he's a good point guard. Like, he's not
Avery. Avery Johnson
with
him, was a
depending
good facilitator.
On where you're don't even get Avery in it. Hey, that's my cousin, man. But look, I would say it depends on what part of Mark's career too, because in some parts of his career he was a little bit better. But I would say no in the grand scheme of things. What you say,
Ben? Let Dr. Bayon go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, man. All I would say, similar players by career, which I like to do. You have Terry Porter, Derek Harper, Jeff Hornacek, Rod Strickland, Mo Cheeks, Jay Kidd, Charles Oakley, David Wesley, Steve Nash, Kenny Anderson. Now, by age, you have Norm Nixon, T.J. Ford, Porter, Derek Harper, Jay Humphries, Kenny Anderson, Derek Harper, Terry Porter. So, I mean, I give him – it's an easy funds on hold for Mark Jackson. Good point guard, but, I mean, he didn't do enough. I mean, 9.6 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds over 17 seasons. I mean, he was solid, but, you know, funds on
about
hold.
About two turnovers a game. So that's not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I think Mark Jackson was a very good point guard. You know, he was a good post-up point guard, even though his little post-up action and Charles Barkley's post-up action got the rules changed because they would sit there for, like, the whole 24-second clock and do what they had to do. But, you know, he wasn't really quick.
Yeah,
he had the float. He had the teardrop as his go-to move. I never really thought Mark Jackson had that great of a jump shot. Like y'all said earlier, great facilitator, but I would definitely give him an FOH also. But the reason that I picked Mark Jackson, I'm surprised that everybody said FOH, is because he's the person in the NBA that most reminds me of Chris Carter in the NFL, and y'all all put him in the Hall of Fame. Meaningless assists compiled over a whole bunch of years, same thing as Chris Carter. I know it's a lot of people out there that call in and talk to me, 3-2-3-4-1-0-0-0-1-2. But that's the only reason
I'm
putting him up, because he reminds me of Chris Carter.
One more Philly point guard I would take over Mark Jackson. Jerome Allen, baby.
Yo, but real quick, to your point about Chris Carter, well, I mean, I wasn't even on the show when everybody put him in the Hall of Fame, but the one thing I can say about Chris Carter when you juxtapose him with Mark Jackson is that Chris Carter – in my opinion, it played at a higher level at his position than Mark Jackson. Take the stats out of it. When you look at, like, the top, say, 10 receivers of all time, Chris Carter's name will be mentioned, possibly. Now, Mark Jackson's not going to come, you know, in that same level of point guard, in my opinion.
The world is a stat world. Why?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I understand that. I'm not a stat guy.
If we're going to look at stats, then that's an unfair comparison because – I mean, Chris Carter, statistically, is
a
top five receiver of all time, and I just don't think you can amass those type of stats without being absolutely dominant at your position. I know that stats have context, but if you examine certain context,
I saw somebody today on Facebook talk about how Art Monk might be overrated because, you know, he had a lot of 10-yard receptions and amassed a lot of receptions like that, and the other guys on the team were the deep threats. What's the difference between him and Chris Carter? Jake Reed and Randy Moss were the ones who went deep and stretched the field. Chris Carter caught 10- and 15-yard passes. Great hands. You know, I'm not knocking Chris Carter. I'm just saying.
Now, but here's the thing.
I think he's just more of a possession receiver.
How long did Randy Moss and Chris Carter play together? It wasn't that many seasons.
To your point about the whole Art Monk thing, to his credit, I've had this debate with Naran. He's the one that brought up the whole Art Monk thing. He didn't think Chris Carter should be in either. But this brings it to a different issue, which can go across all sports, from basketball, baseball, to football. I think you have two types of, like, great players, so to speak. You have great players who perform at a great level, or even a good level, for a long period of time. Then you have players that just reach, like, a maximum potential. Like, they reached as high as they can with their abilities for a short period of time.
Terrell,
you have, like, pitchers like
Terrell Davis,
like Terrell
Davis,
Gale Sayers, like people like Sandy Koufax. You have certain players that are dominant over a short period of time. Then you have players who are not as dominant, but who are good to great for a longer period of time. So when you talk about greatest and best, you have to, like, separate the two, because sometimes you can just get a lot of stats by playing a long period of time. It's like in our chat room, Coffee77 talks about Burt Blyleven. He was put into the Hall of Fame. He played, like, for so long that his stats just became – you know, like, out of this world. And I see Naren's back in the chat room.
That's what your boy's trying to do.
He doesn't.
That's what your boy Jamie Moore is trying to do. He's trying to get to that 300. Jamie Moore is trying to get to that 300 win mark, so he's going to play till he's 60, because you know once he hit that 300 threshold, they're automatically going to put him in. And Jamie Moore is not a Hall of Fame level pitcher. But if he gets that 300,
I think he's conscientiously trying to do that. I don't think, and I think that's corny. But I don't think that was Chris Carter's modus operandi.
I don't think they because there's not really a number in football or basketball, for that matter, that you would shoot for. Like, Moyer,
used to be
in baseball, 10, you don't even have
to
try 10, that.
In football, it used to be 10,000 yards. 10,000
no,
yards.
But you're not really – but you, a lot of them guys are shooting for other people's records.
Yo,
Moyer,
Jamie Moyer, there's no way Jamie Moyer should make it to the Hall of Fame. I don't care if he stays around until he's 60 and he gets 450 wins. Like, yo, come on, man. And that's my thing with these Hall of Fames. They're so subjective. But when you look at greatness, in my opinion, in an athletic standpoint, you have different types of greatness. You have, like I said, being great over a long period of time and then reaching, like, you know, to the pinnacle of your position or your sport for a short period of time. And that's the difference.
Yo,
so to me, Chris Carter was one of the best in his position.
Let me add. I was going to say, Mark Jackson only has one All-Star, and I know Chris Carter, he has like 9 Pro Bowls, 2 first-team All-Pros, and then a bunch of second-team All-Pros. So the NFL at one point felt that, you know, outside of the Pro Bowls, that he was a top two or top four receiver year in, year out.
That's a great point. Because I want to acknowledge the difference between a Pro Bowl nod and an All-Pro nod. For me, I respect the All-Pro nod a lot more than a Pro Bowl.
The league gives you that.
So if you,
the league gives you that. Yeah. But, yo, we got to move on, Jay.
Right.
So let's definitely
move on. One quick thing, though. One thing we think in the chat room, Naren said that Jamie Moyer actually pitched to Roberto Clemente. And Coffee 77 said Jamie Moyer actually didn't even turn good until he turned 30. Maybe that's why he's trying to stay around long. Who knows? Anyway, let's talk about some more hot topics. That was a good HOFF away. Let's get into some hot topics. Let's see. Let's first talk about the NHL. Let me ask you a question, Dev. If the playoffs started today, what would the seedings be in the NHL?
In the NHL, in the Western Conference, the number one seed is the Vancouver Canucks. Then you got, of course, Detroit Red Wings at 2, San Jose Sharks at 3, Phoenix Coyotes at 4, Los Angeles Kings at 5, Anaheim at 6, Nashville at 7, and Chicago, the defending Stanley Cup champs, bringing up the rear at 8. Now, in the Eastern Conference, you got the Broad Street Bullies, in the one seed right now, followed by the Washington Capitals. You got Boston at 3, Pittsburgh at 4, Tampa Bay at 5, Montreal at 6, Buffalo at 7, and New York Rangers bringing up the rear at 8. Now, they're trying to hold on to that last spot. You know, if you guys listen to the show, you know, we had a Rangers beat writer on a few weeks back, and he didn't really feel too strongly about the Rangers being contenders this year, but, you know, but like we told him on the show, once you squeak in, you never know what can happen. So NHL's going down that stretch. We're going to keep an eye on it, and once the playoffs start, we're going to jump on the bandwagon.
Of course we're going to jump on the Flyers bandwagon. We love the Broad Street Bullies here in the war room.
Let's go Flyers.
Just want to touch on that real quick, the NHL. Next thing I want to ask you a question about is the NCAA. The AP All-American First Team. Dev, you have those names for the first team?
First team. And after I name the team, you know, I want to y'all to let me know if you think they made any mistakes or not. First, we got Jimmer Fredette, who averaged 28.5 points, 4.2 assists. He was the leading vote getter. Then you had Nolan Smith, who averaged 21.3 and 5.2 assists. You had Jared Sullinger, who averaged 17.2 and 10 rebounds. Then you had Kemba the Killer Walker, 23.5 points, 5.3 rebounds. And Juwan Johnson from Purdue, 20.5 points and 8.2 rebounds. Y'all think they got it right? Anybody y'all think they should take off
their list? Derek Williams from Arizona needs to get an honorable mention.
No, nah, man. He's a great player, and he's worthy of going, like, number one in the draft. But his season doesn't compare to these guys' season. Everybody's excited.
It depends. It depends upon how you rank the Pac-10. He was the Pac-10 player of the year. But that's either here nor there.
He's killing the tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
I mean, he killed the regular season, too, though. He's the Pac-10 player of the year.
Yeah, but that's a lot of players.
He did well, but I mean,
a lot of conferences out there. You only can have five people on this team.
16 and 7. You put up 16 and 7.
That's kind of why I said honorable mention versus replacing a player on the team, because I don't think they got it wrong. I just think the Bulls that dominant.
It's funny because a lot of times
Nolan,
we look at people.
I say take Nolan Smith off.
Why?
And I really don't mean that. I just want to piss off my homie Carl Chiba on our Facebook page, because I know he's a Duke fan. So I figure I'd say that to get him pissed off.
Because Nolan Smith played for the Duke Blue Toms.
I'm not going there.
Actually, somebody did come onto our Facebook
page
and say that Nolan Smith shouldn't be on it.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. Here's the thing, though. Like you said, there's a lot of great players, and there's so many schools and so many teams. It's hard to, like, have a, you know, just a first team. That's crazy. What I want to see is I want to see these guys' GPAs. And after they tell me the GPA, I want them each to tell me what classes they're taking. Then you can impress me.
Nolan Smith got a 3.8.
Nolan Smith probably hasn't seen the inside of a classroom since he signed a Duke.
That's just like a quick tidbit. They said Stacey Augman, during the season when he played for UNLV, he would get straight A's. That's because his girl was doing his work. He wasn't going to class. When he went to class, during the offseason, his grades went down. They were talking about that on the four letters. Like, he used to have a better GPA when he didn't go to class because his girl was doing work for him. That's like jokers, man. It's crazy. So when you look at GPAs, man, just like J.R. Ryder, he said majoring. J.R. Ryder majored in basket weaving. They used to play for the
Miami. You know what's funny about that? People are going to think you're joking. That's a true story. He majored
in basket weaving. I'm dead up. He majored in basket weaving. I didn't even know that university would have that.
The thing with J.R. Ryder is J.R. Ryder really never had to come to campus unless it was to practice or a game. Like, he didn't, I mean, from class, he didn't. Oh. He didn't come on the campus.
I'm gonna tell y'all why J.R. Ryder to me will always be funny, because he had got a contract in the league with the Timberwolves and then got locked up a couple weeks later for selling Chip's cell phone. I'm like, yo, you just signed a $1 million contract. How much dough are you making selling chipped up Motorola?
I got another funny J.R. Ryder story. Well, it ain't really a story, but those of you who have participated in some of the activities that J.R. Ryder has participated in realize that the boy used to be high out of his mind in games, and he used to try and hide it when he wore the headband and would pull it down real low over his eyes.
I think when he went to UNLV, I think he lived in the Luxor or something. He didn't even live.
J.R. Ryder is my homie, yo, man.
He used to live in the Luxor. Damn.
Shout out to my man J.R. Ryder, man. He has nothing to do with this whole topic. Shout out to him anyway. Dev, next thing real quick. Players of the week in the NBA.
NBA players of the week, Dwight Howard and Kobe Bean Bryant. Dwight Howard led the Magic to a 3-0 week. Of course, as usual, he ranked first in the NBA in rebounds at 14.3 and field goal percentage at 71%. Bean, he led the league in scoring last week at 36.3 per, and the Lakers went 3-0 last week. And y'all know the Lakers are on fire right now. And it's a shame, because I think it's another case of Kobe spoiling the public and they're used to him being consistently good, and he gets no love for MVPs. This dude has been the best player in the league for the last 10 years. He's going to retire with one MVP. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the same thing. Mike probably was like the best player in the league from the day he laced him up, and he didn't win MVP every – yo, they gave it to Karl Malone over Michael Jordan.
They didn't
even play on the same level. But neither here nor there.
Jimmy, he got six. Mike was just complaining because he didn't win 10. Kobe has
yeah,
one.
But here's my thing, though. You know, the world got love for Kobe, but look at the players of the week, right? I thought about this. Dwight Howard. If you take Dwight Howard off of Orlando, they may not even make the playoff. Yo, not make. They may be one of the worst teams in the league. He gets no love either for
hey,
MVP.
Whoa.
What?
Nah, not worse than the league. Jameer, man.
I said one of the worst teams in the league. I don't care about Jameer. Yo, you take Dwight Howard. When you watch the game, he affects the game in so many ways.
The thing about Dwight Howard is he plays on both sides of the court.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that a lot of people sleep on him about. Like, he's a threat. He commands – he rules the paint, I'm trying to say. Like, paint, offensively and defensively, he rules the paint. So that really does change the game and the way you attack that team. So if you take him out of it, he changes the complexion of the team.
It's a three-point shooting team, so they need him and all the attention that he draws.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
All we hear is D-Rose and LeBron to me. It's like all I'm hearing is D-Rose and LeBron. And, you know, LeBron said it's D-Rose should win it and this and that, but –
Yo, you know, once they make their mind up, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. But to me, when you look at Dwight Howard, you know, if you look at Dwight Howard, you take him off that team, you know, they're not making the playoffs. Like, he has an effect, like you said, on both sides of the floor, and he just controls the game sometimes without even doing much, but just being there. Like, this dude never gets love for MVP.
The shoulders. Imagine if you had the Rock and you was driving to the cup and you just saw one of them big shoulders coming at you. He can't even see who it is. You just see a big shoulder and just block the light in front of
Mark Jackson teardrops.
Straight up, you be tear dropping from like 30 feet. Tear dropping.
Oh, man.
Straight up.
Yeah, anybody else got anything to say? Dr. Bayon, what you got to say about Dwight Howard and Kobe?
Yeah, I think Dwight Howard should get more love for MVP. And, I mean, Kobe, it's been a while since he's been, you know, get a player of the week or the player of the month. But the Lakers, since the All-Star break, are 15-1. So everybody has to recognize.
It's like that in every sport. Michael
Jeffrey Jordan Jr. told y'all, I mean, see me in the springtime.
Yo,
yeah.
What I'm saying is, the Dev made a great point about how in sports, once you reach a certain level, it's like you're expected to be at that level. So, like, you don't win MVP awards. I mean, you know, unless you're in football, they seem like they want to give it to Peyton Manning every year. But, you know, I remember, like, this year that people were, like, arguing against Brady being MVP because he's been this good before. Huh?
They want the MVP to be a surprise story all the time. We didn't expect him to be this good. Okay, so what?
Pretty much. No, next story, the Heat's big three or two and a half or – anyway, four. They went for 30-10 on Sunday versus the Rockets, all two and a half of them, LeBron, Wade, and Christina Bosch. What's your thoughts on the 30-10 for all of them, Austin?
Why'd you come to me first? Well, it's actually a good thing you started with me. I'm gonna be brief, brothers. There's a big difference between a great team and a team that has great talent, and we are seeing it. Which, by the way, I saw them last night versus the Wizards, and they are by no means a great team, man. So I expect nights like this when it ain't going right for them talent wise. They, you know, their basketball IQs and character and coaching gets in the way of them winning.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is funny.
Go ahead. You got it.
No, I was just going to say it's funny because they do put up numbers like that, but it seems like the team has the most success when Chris Bosh is included in that. Like he's getting off too. So it's not – I don't want to say that he's – it almost seems like he's one of the most important components, but it seems like when he has success along with the other two that, you know, the team is much more effective. Now, that goes without saying because if you got three players scoring 30 points apiece, and I'm not even talking about numbers that, you know, exotic, but when Chris Bosh gets off, it seems like he's a key component to the squad versus when either one of the other two get off.
Because, you know, you don't have – be the best player on the team to actually be the X factor, and I do think he's the X factor because when he's not, like you said, when he's not getting off, they don't really win. But this feat, the 30-10 thing, I mean, it is impressive because the last time that it was done in regulation was 1961, and that was like Oscar Robinson, Wayne Embry, and Jack Twyman. They did it for the Cincinnati Royals and a lost Philadelphia Warriors back in 1961. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a nice statistic, but, you know, it's against the Rockets, a team that's not going to be in the playoffs. They always take advantage of teams that are not going to be in the playoffs.
That's a great point, that the X factor doesn't necessarily have to be your best player, because when you watch the Lakers play, Lamar Odom is the X factor.
Yeah, when he didn't
even start.
Lakers, unstoppable. It's like Lamar.
He don't even start, but he's the X factor. And that's a great point, because a lot of times in a lot of different sports, the X factor doesn't have to be your best player.
Yeah, like Odom and maybe Bynum. Odom and Bynum are balling. Lakers unstoppable.
Yeah, PJ, to your point, like last night, I think Wade had like 35. I think LeBron had like 32. And Christina had like 26, and that was the X factor because he didn't work. What can you do?
Right.
Yo.
Meanwhile, their bench is the worst bench in the league. And when one of these dudes, when they get into a seven-game series, and everybody and the teams are geared up to shut certain things down, they are going to have no help, and nobody's going to know what to do.
Yo, it's funny because like watching like basketball this week. I watched a little bit of the women's college basketball tournament, and it made me think of Chris Bosh, because until I saw Brittany Griner play, I thought that Chris Bosh was the best female basketball player, you know, of all time.
Seriously, though, Brittany Griner is like Joanna Man, yo. We joke about her and how she looked, but I heard her speak the other day.
She's a mixture.
Brett Griner. Brett Griner is a dude.
She's a mix between a giraffe and a habit.
Back to the professionals. I'm gonna leave that one alone. Yo, the Cavs played LeBron in the Heat, and the Heat lost to the Cavs in his second return. LeBron had a couple of different instances. First, the parking garage incident before the game, and then when they called him to come out for the game, he said he was taking a leak. I mean, you know.
Let me address the parking garage thing first, though, because, you know, there's always protectionists out there who, okay, if you like a player, because I'm a fan of LeBron. I don't like some of the stuff that he does, and I think he could, you know, improve some things in his game. But just because you're a fan, you do not have to defend every single thing that happens. People were telling, like, why should his boys have parking in the little VIP parking garage, the players' parking garage? Why should they get that privilege? And he's no longer in the city. He's no longer on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have the audacity to think that they could roll up into that parking garage? I don't get it.
They
could with LeBron. That's why.
Yeah, but LeBron is no longer the king of the city. So
right.
I don't understand. And he came to the game in a jacket that said "Long Live the King."
Come on.
The thing is, he does things to become this villain, but he's too sensitive to be the villain. If he wants to embrace it, like the whole
sensitive
thug,
need hugs, yo. He's a noodle. Yo, LeBron, I don't think LeBron lives on the same planet that we do. That's just the bottom line. Like, he's delusional, for one. But what's up with the boy saying he had to take a leak instead of coming out and, like, you know, accepting his booze?
That's another thing, man. Like, just, you know, that to be in the back talking about you had to go to the bathroom, cut it out. You had like 3 hours before the introductions, before y'all have to be out on the court for that, to take a dump or take or do whatever you got going on. So I just think that was cowardice. It was corny. I mean, dude, all the great players get booed. They go there. A lot of the great players feed off of those boos. So those boos that they get make them want to, you know, put the dagger in the team, not him. Not sweet LeBron, little chump. That was corny to me.
hey, but the only benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt that I might give him is maybe he got a case of the bubble guts right before the game. That happened.
Yeah, he may have. I don't know. It's too convenient.
I mean, it does. If that's the truth, it was the most untimely of moments that it could possibly happen. But he was coming back to the city where he used to be the king. He might have been a little nervous out there. I don't know.
Plus, yeah, but it was the second time, though, dog. I can see the first time. I can see the first time, but, like, yo, come on, man. Funds don't hold LeBron, yo. I don't even
believe. Hey, yo, LeBron, you know what LeBron needs to do? Because he kind of, I guess you can say, softens up in these situations. He needs to take some advice from this guy.
Don't ask for me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Hey, but Jimmy, man, we did, like, our... We was on, like, our 10th show, man, and I caught the bubble guys right before the show one time, man, so I feel the dude, man. We were like, yo, it's the 10th show. What you nervous about? I don't
come on, man. Yo, next thing I want to talk about that I found this story kind of funny is talk some baseball. Y'all homie, Barry Bonds, a.k.a. Bill Bixby. Yo, his ex-mistress. First of all, when did mistress, like, become, like, a legitimate title? They was like, yeah. That's a whole other story. Anyway, his ex-mistress testified in his perjury trial. And she was giving out details about his gonad shrinking and him having bumps all over the place. Like, you know, first off, don't nobody want to hear that. Second off, how much attention are you paying to someone to know the size of their gonads and whether they're shrinking or not? Come on, man. Funds on hold.
I don't think that's weird at all. I mean, she is.
Yeah, I don't. She had them in her mouth.
She was probably giving him mean chewies. So she was probably fronting to because she was giving him mean chewies.
The way she was describing, she had to spend a lot of time in another region for the kind of description she was giving. My point is.
What else do you think?
He stopped taking care of her. She comes out with all this nonsense. Like, you know. Is he even believable at this point?
That's why I think her testimony is going to just be brushed off the shoulders of jury because, you know, that's the first thing they did when she got off the stand. The defense got up and tried to just label her as a scorned mistress. Think about it. His ex-wife is not going to come out and do this because she getting them alimony payments. But all this shit got out of the deal was a breast implant and a thank you and I say.
So, and he said he was going to pop them Jones, too.
Yeah, she upset.
He told her he was going to pop them Jones. She keep getting out of line. I
definitely don't think it's strange at all that she can tell that his joints turned into a pair of dice. I'm not trying to be vulgar for our women listeners out there, but I mean, the chick probably had her tongue down there a lot. So you can.
Yo, no, I agree with you, but yo,
she probably had her jawline down there.
Yo. She was giving all the description.
She also said that he couldn't get it down in the bed no more, too. She said that his performance, like, fell back. His performance got Benjamin Button and fell back,
yeah,
though.
Like,
he went old.
Performance was shooting first.
Yes. He couldn't smack it up, flip it, and rub it down no more. I said, man, they're getting...
Yo, but the adjectives and her descriptive getting right there, yo. She was... She's on her, like, you know, Tom Sawyer joint describing my man's man parts, man. That's terrible, Barry. Damn, fam. All that for some
reason. All the cases like that get very vulgar because they get real descriptive. So even, like remember the Kobe case, like, all that. They talk about all that. Michael Jackson case, man. Like, they talk about the nether regions and all kind of uncomfortable stuff.
That's the thing, PJ. Like, if you marry, if you're a woman and you marry to one of these dudes, you do not want to show up for these court cases because you're going to find out.
Yeah, I know.
That's why Kobe settled. That's why Kobe settled out of court.
And the And he settled with his wife with that $4 million ring.
I feel you, Kill, because I don't think he raped the chick, but I just don't think he wanted all the details. Like, I'd have just told her, look, you
especially,
can't come.
Especially if Kobe was smacking in the wrong Holyfield. Anyway, yo. last thing I want to talk about in terms of the hot topics, yo, is all these athletes on Dancing with the Stars. What's your guys' opinion on that?
Yo, I've watched 2 episodes. I got to give him an apology. You know, I crapped on Hines Ward because of his bow and arrow legs. Dude, he actually can dance a little bit. Who can't dance is your man Sugar Ray.
Man.
Yo, he danced like hell. Back, man. I call him Sugar Port Leonard.
He's a boxer, though. He's supposed to be able to dance. Like, come on,
that's
man.
I don't understand it.
All I'm going to say about Dancing with Stars is Atlanta is a state of mind more so than a place.
He keeps coming out of Atlanta.
Yo,
shout out to Atlanta.
All I know is Sugar Ray Leonard looked like he's been embalmed, and they picked him up out of a coffin.
Yeah.
Every year, he's starting to get shinier and shinier. I mean, he's starting to get that Jackson in him. He started looking shiny
and
greasy and like
plastic. Don't he look like something from Madame Tussauds, the wax museum or something?
Yeah, he do. He look waxy.
Sugar, yo.
Yeah. Yo, Sugar waxy, man.
His back is...
You got to stop with that.
He is trash. Romeo is trash. He's not as bad as his pop was. Romeo can't dance either.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
Well, Chris Jericho
Ali was
surprisingly pretty good. And
yeah,
Ralph Macchio
that's true.
Pretty. Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio, he like 60. He's still he about like 13.
He can make another
karate
kid, like,
Joe.
He was 35 when he was playing a high school sophomore. He was 35.
I want to say one more thing. Now, I ran in the chat room. He said this is a true story. They remember Courtney Brown that played for Penn State and played in the league?
Yeah.
When he graduated from Penn State, he said the boy had a 3.4 GPA and his major was swimming pool management.
Come on, man.
Swimming pool management. If you can't get a 3.4, if you can't get a 3.4 managing swimming pools, then
why do they have a degree in swimming pool management? Like why is that a major? Swimming pool management,
lifeguard.
Yo,
only one to be a lifeguard.
Yo,
you know what I mean?
You can get your lifeguard joining, like. You get that at the Y. You don't even got to go to Penn State.
He got a Votech diploma degree from Penn State.
Yo, did he?
Yo, when he got to the league and got his own pool, I bet you he ain't had to call nobody.
Probably bring it down, bringing it up all on season, on point.
We gonna move on. We gonna talk about this Final Four, man. So if anybody wanna call in and talk some college basketball, that number is 323-410-0012. Let's jump right up to it. VCU, they shocked the world after a lot of people said they shouldn't have been in the tourney. So, what do y'all think about that? Has anything changed in your mind? Because personally, for me, nothing changes. I mean, because even the guys who were saying they shouldn't have been in the tournament, they all said, once you get in, you know, we're not saying they can't win games or that they won't go on a run. But I agree. They shouldn't have been in the tournament in the first place. But they were opportunists, and once they got in, they took advantage of that joint, man.
Yo.
I
think the news
–
here's my system. Go ahead, back.
Nah, I was going to say, I mean, obviously nobody predicted VCU or Butler to make it there. But what was funny, after watching how VCU pulled their big upset over Kansas, it was kind of like when the game was it? The UNC-Kentucky game was on. It was, like, boring. It was like, where's the drama? You know what I mean?
Yeah, the underdog had a lot of drama with it, man. Like, after you come down off of that, like, I'm not trying to see another game. Nobody
want to
see that.
I'm gonna go a little, you know, having watched VCU play. Let me. You know, they do have a lot of talent. They do have a lot of talent on the perimeter. My question is, how many games can you shoot out of your mind from behind the arc? I mean, for me, I think it's a probability thing. If you can't post up and get easier, higher percentage shots, at some point you're bound to fail, whether that's this game or maybe they make it all the way to the championship. I just have a problem betting on a team that's based 110% on perimeter scoring.
Even with the run, they actually have been hammering teams, but even with this run, I'm not silly enough to bet on them. I ain't doing that.
Skeen is nice, and I think Skeen will have a career at the next level. But I know what you're saying, Brad.
Because if you rely, you live by the three, you die by the three. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. So the thing about it is basketball is such a streaky game. Basketball is such a streaky game. What's going to happen when they are not hitting, knocking down the shots? Then what do they revert to? Like what do they revert back to?
They don't even get to the cup. Like they double drive just
Rodriguez. Lil Rodriguez, my man, running around under people's legs and then kicking back out.
He's not looking to score, and I think Butler is a similar team, but at least in their defense, they are a little bigger,
a little more balanced,
a little bit more physical. So the question becomes on the boards, not just scoring from the post, but even rebounding. I think they have a bit of an edge, but it's like we're watching the same team play. It's like mirror images of one another.
We're gonna get to the breakdown and the predictions,
but Brad, basically what you're saying is gonna be like a regression to the mean. They can't keep like hitting at a high level. They've hit like 12 three-pointers in a couple of these games, and they didn't do that all season. So I get your point.
Yeah.
But Dev, you were asking like who is more impressive between Butler and VCU.
What do y'all think is more impressive? VCU making it this year, or Butler making it back this year?
Now, I think that it would be Butler, and here's why. There has been several years when a team has made a run, you know, a la George Mason, but in order to make a run like Butler did last year and then come right back after losing your best player to the draft, that's very impressive. I mean, there's been a lot of, like, teams that have been, you know, we don't know whether VCU at this point will, you know, come back or even make the tournament next year. But for what Butler did, that's very,
that's,
to me.
They should.
That's a good point. That's a good point, James. That's a good point, James Williams, brother. Listen, that's why I would say Butler, because, like you said, it's hard. They lost in the championship game last year. It's hard to come all the way back to the Final Four again. Especially, they didn't have a great season this year. They lost to some teams that they shouldn't have lost to, thinking of a team that, you know, that just came from the championship the year before, even though they lost their best player. But what I would just say is it's definitely hard. Like, it's hard for a team, and we're going to call them quote-unquote mid-major, to do that again. You know what I'm saying? So I would say, you know, with BCU and shocking them is doing is great, but I just think to get back to the Final Four 2 years in a row and you're a so-called mid-major, I think that's very impressive.
Yo,
exactly.
I agree with them wholeheartedly because Butler, not only, you know, Jimmy said that they lost their best player or whatever, but at the same time, nobody in America can sit here and tell us that they didn't think Butler was a fluke last year. So now they're right back.
Right.
So I think it's way more impressive because the pressure was on. But go ahead, Bam.
Hey, Dev, put it like this. If I told you last year during a championship game that one of these teams would make it back, you wouldn't have told me that it would be Butler. You would have said,
pick which one, right, exactly.
But VCU has done something unprecedented. VCU has won more games to get to this point by winning the playoff game and going through. So the play-in game, I think that's more impressive.
That play-in.
Who are they playing the playing game?
I don't even know.
If you qualify the question and ask which is more important
this
year.
They play USC.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, if you qualify the question and say who had more of an impressive year, then maybe you can, like, start looking at things like that and saying, but I guess, you know, it's tough because I feel what you're saying, Kill, but – I don't care about the
extra game doesn't mean anything to me because, like, some teams don't even have conference tournaments. So they play the extra game that may have worked in their advantage to in order to get their rhythm together. But in my opinion, to come back after losing the championship, though, that's a whole nother level. I mean, we can name several years, the Richmond Spiders, the George Mason, who have had a run. But how many teams from a mid-major school can you say that had two runs on back-to-back years?
That deep.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, that deep.
It might not really be an extra game because a lot of these other teams won their conference championship game. You know,
exactly.
UConn played like 15 games in 8 days.
what's the difference in recruiting quality between Butler and VCU? Because I feel like some of these dudes on Butler, may have a shot to play at the next level versus VCU. They're going to be playing in the gym around the corner from me.
I think Butler has one cat on the team who might be able to go to the NBA, and that's Shelvin Mack. Howard is a great college player, but I don't think he's, you know, NBA.
He's going to get a run.
I don't think so.
He's going to get a run. He's going to get his Mark Madsen on. He's going to get a run.
Yeah, he might, but I don't think he's an NBA quality player. He might get a run in Turkey. But
he's gonna get a run. He's gonna get a run because he has a high basketball IQ. So he'll get a run. Whether he'll be productive or not is a different story. He's a scrappy player with a high basketball IQ. But I understand what your question is, though, Austin. But the thing about it is, the question was who had a better run. And in my opinion, to answer that question, it has to be Butler.
But listen, this is a question that I also want to get answers from you guys. Like, why do you think, because like Jimmy named, you have the George Masons and the Richmond and the VCU and Butler back-to-back years. And even, you can throw Gonzaga in there because they're respected now because they've been doing it year after year. But why is it that the mid-majors are making these kind of runs on a consistent basis now? Why do you think that is, PJ?
My thing is this. I think that there's probably more talent at the high school level, right? So I figure that the best athletes are still going to your top tier schools, but I also think that the good athletes are still trickling down into these mid majors, and I also feel like a lot of the mid majors may have more upperclassmen, so they may have teams that had a chance to gel better. So whereas the Kentuckys and schools like that, where you're pretty much a lot of their best players are one and done, so every year they're kind of like rebuilding. Sometimes with the mid-majors, you may have juniors and seniors that have played together for like 3 years and may have become more of a cohesive unit and more of a team, and they're just competing. Now, it's not going to happen all the time, but I just think it's a combination of things. But I think a lot of the top-tier teams, you got kids that, the top-tier schools like your Ohio States and your Kentuckys, as soon as you can, you out, like, to go to the NBA. So it's always a situation where they're rebuilding. But they still have
eight deaths.
Yeah.
I've actually like put thought into that this week. I was sitting there, racking my brain, writing stuff down, trying to figure it out, and I actually came up with an equation. Right? Here's the thing, and it's sort of like PJ kind of stole my thunder. If you rank the high school players on a grade on a grade type level, and you give certain players A's, certain players B's, B pluses. The B pluses and A's all go to the Kentuckys, the Carolinas, the Dukes, the Wake Forest, the big schools. Now, the B players go to the Butlers or VCUs, and just like PJ said, if you're constantly rotating in these A's and B pluses, they don't have time to gel, and they're one and done. Meanwhile, the B players who are still quality players, are gelling and coming together as a team. And that's why I think this is a sign of time. I think this is here to stay unless they change the rules in terms of how long you have to play. If the rules stay the way they are, this is what the tournament is at this point. Because
I'm sorry, Jim, but to cut you off real quick, the guy Scheme that we talked about earlier, he went to the guy Scheme, he went to Wake Forest and then transferred back to VCU. So in a situation where some of these guys, like you said, might go to these good schools, but they might not get the run or the look or the time that they want. So then they might transfer to a school that's not on such a high level, but they can be more the focal point on the squad. But go ahead, you said about Calipari.
I said when you look at Calipari and, like, the point guard that he's coached over, like, the last couple of years, how is he really going to build team with that? I mean, he's back there now. He's back there now, if you ask me, primarily due to the dude that didn't even get no clock last year. What's the boy name out there balling now and he barely played last year? The big guy, the white boy, what's his name?
Oh, you talking about House? What's his name? The big boy, number 55.
If you ask me, he's
the reason
he shut down Tellinger. He's been putting in work.
They said they were treating him like a bum.
I think the level overall in Division I basketball is down. I agree with you guys about the one and done rule being a it's a big reason of what's going on right now. But I think the level and college basketball, I think everybody dropped down a level, and it started, when the influx of players were just going straight from high school to the pros, and even now when it's just one and done, I think all of the best high school players end up in the pros. So the dudes who are going to major Division I schools are dudes who really aren't on that level. So everybody raises up a notch. What I always say, I was like, yo, I wish we were in high school in this era versus the era that we were in, because a few of us might have a shot at playing at a major university, because of the, you know, everybody, all the best dudes are going to the league. So that's leaving spots open for people who probably shouldn't be at Kentucky.
Yo, and this is a complex issue. There's so many reasons.
You guys really broke this down. And, you know, you stole my thunder, Dez. Jimmy, you stole my thunder. So I really think you guys are really, like, dead on. The quality of play is definitely down, and that's indicated in the draft. This year alone, right now, you have like 8 unknown European dudes that have a potential to go in the lottery. Why? Because quality's not there in the NCAA. And then you've got guys that aren't necessarily top-tier players out of high school. They're good enough to play D1 at this point. And when you have 2 or 3 years to do team building, it's still a team sport. It's still about gelling. It's still about, you know, understanding that, yo, my man, I played with him for 3 years. I know without looking that he's running the baseline, so I don't even have to look to make this pass. You don't get that in 1 year. So you got people like Coach Cal who are basing their runs off of purely, you know, primates that they can roll in 1 year and done, versus, you know, guys like what's the coach?
That they can grow.
Shaka Smart, and then you got the coach of Butler, who also is a pretty decent talent and strategy guy.
Right, like Calipari isn't looking for a guy that he can groom and build into being a good player, like John Chaney might, like take somebody with raw.
Right. Right,
like
yo,
talent that doesn't understand the game yet.
Calipari
is looking for that
looking
dude.
For a player.
He's looking
Calipari
for Derrick Rose
for
right now.
That really could be in the league right now, but because of the rule,
should be good. Yeah, exactly. He's looking for the NBA player right now. Yeah.
But let me tell y'all both something. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Like Stevens and Shaka ain't gonna be on that same level in 2 years because them jokers ain't staying where they at. They gonna be out looking for them Derrick Rose primates themselves in a couple of years.
With the success they're experiencing at their programs, do they begin attracting a higher quality? Because I believe the overall game is down in the NCAA, and I believe the bottom-level schools are getting better talent, and the top-level schools are getting prime athletic talent, but not necessarily great.
Here's why. If you go visit a school like Kentucky, who invests money in their programs, and they have state-of-the-art gyms, but you're playing in front of 40,000. You know what I mean? You play in front of 40,000 people. Then you go see a rundown Butler campus where, yo, they barely even have a gym.
And they give you
– they play at a field house. They play at a field house.
Not to cut you off, and I want to just change what I said real quick, because when I started off, I said that the talent is better. I don't even know if I said it. I forgot what I said, but I said something that may have sounded like I was trying to say that they're better high school average. I'm tripping. But what I'm saying is, like what Dev and Jimmy said and Brad said, it's more in line with what I was thinking, in the sense that I think the talent has, like, just evened off. Like, it's just, like, it's dudes, like there's really not that much great talent coming out of high school. So, like, the most popular guys, the guys that are in that network that do the AAU circuit, they may be seen more. They will go to the bigger schools. But there's other guys that might be on the same level as them that don't get those looks will go to your George Masons and all that. But, like, to what you were saying, Jim, go ahead. I rap too much.
What I was saying basically is if any of us have a kid and he's a top-level talent, and we go visit these schools, and we see Butler, and we go to Kentucky, and we get some of the money handshakes, and then we see the gym they play in, we're not going to Butler.
That's what the guy said from Auburn. The guy from the show last night from Auburn said, yo, when I went to Auburn, I didn't want to go nowhere else. Like, I went there, and I went on the campus, and it was like, cuz, I didn't even want to look at no other schools, because I'm like, yo, we went to a party. The girls were like, the dudes at the party just said, pick any girl you want, one or two, however many girls you want.
He pointed them out, and they came and gave them a shake,
and they gave, was that Ohio State?
Hey, yo, check this out. Now, you have some cats like Rodney Stuckey, who was nice, right? And he could have went to UCLA, could have went to Gonzaga, but he was like, you know what? Why I'm not going to sit the bench my freshman year or be sixth man. I'm going to go to Eastern Washington and put in work as a freshman, as a sophomore.
Yeah.
His sophomore year, he averaged like 26 a game, first-round pick. So some cats will go to the mid-major so they can just do work.
Yeah. He may drop off some money, though.
That's like the Bulls team did.
They're the exception, because that's like you getting a 17-year-old dude to either wear Nikes or Pro Keds. And just because he's 17 and he's not thinking on that level, he just wants the Nikes because he think, you know, he don't want, he's worrying about what everybody else thinks. But
what?
Do y'all think, well, because, you know, they keep trying to extend the tournament. They've already extended it to 68. They want to extend it to, like, 90-something. Does this give the tournament less allure because these mid-major schools keep making a run? Like, BCU could have BCU could possibly be the 68th school in the tournament.
Here's what I say, Dev. I know how you end all this. How you end all this is do this. There's like 350 like Division I schools. I say you let everybody in the damn tournament.
Your brackets had to be on a poster board. You had to put your brackets in one of them science project joints from back in the day.
Legal size brackets, yo. Let everybody in. Let everybody in.
Everybody though, Jim.
Everybody, yo.
They're gonna let community in that jump.
Real quick before we give our predictions on the Final Four, Stevens, I'm not even gonna say Shaka because his big opportunities might not come for like another year because they might want to see if he can do something again. Stevens, though, is he gone? Is he gonna leave Butler? Is there any way he stays at Butler?
I think he makes it one more year, but he's going to get that cheek.
Jimmy, you talked about it yesterday, the company that he hired. I think that he's out there doing scratch and sniff to see what kind of check and decimal points people are offering. Straight up. I think he's on a scratch and sniff job.
I think there's no way that dude stays there. Because like we were talking about yesterday.
No way.
He made like what $725, and Jimmy said he made like $1 million this year.
Yeah,
he's gonna get offers from some bigger universities that could pay him $2.5 million, and he's gonna have it. And it's not gonna be just the money; it's gonna be better opportunities at recruiting and things of that nature. I don't think he's gonna stay there because he might.
No, did y'all see what Rick Pitino made this year?
No, how much? $7 million.
$7.5 million. $7.5 million to coach Louisville.
Louisville played the first round.
And he ain't been in the Final Four. When's the last time he been in the Final Four? Like 98?
He might have been in there with Mashburn and
Twan Walker.
No, he took Louisville to the Final Four.
Yeah.
He took like three different teams to the Final Four. He took Providence to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's why his suits be so sharp. He wear gaiters on the sideline.
Yeah, that's why he got a lot of disposable income. He probably get 1.5 back in money handshakes.
Hey, Jimmy, that's why he smashed on the tables in restaurants because they probably shut the whole restaurant down. How are you doing that unless it's a private area? How are you doing that?
Yo, my man Pitino was smashing a chicken in the restaurant on the table.
He smashed on the table, though. He said when monkey ate baboon on him. That's
what
how monkey
did that. What she say to him to make
that?
Him do that? You know he had his suit on, so what she say to make him act
she
like that?
She must have been an indecent proposal joint to open her legs up under the table and she ain't had no she ain't had no Hanes on. She ain't had no lapella on. And he seen the
push. No, I think we're all talking together. I normally don't do interview with women unless I fornicate with them.
Interview.
All right, so look, we're going to break down the team, but we probably don't even have time to break down the team. So let's just give our prediction. So let's start with the mid-major Final Four matchup. B. Austin, who you got? Butler. VCU to go to Titan
I got Butler. I want VCU to win, but I got Butler.
You got Butler beating them. Jimmy. Butler or VCU?
I'm gonna say Butler.
Yeah.
I feel like Brad. Like I want Swiss beating him to win, but I just don't see it.
By the way, yeah, we gotta give props to Shaka Smart though, because that dude is our age, and everything he's done this week I can relate to. That dude said Hoop Dreams is one of his favorite movies of all time, and I'm sure everybody on here, everybody at this table, can relate to that. because we love Hoop Dreams, and we used to watch that joint every day. And in the press conference,
yeah,
he quoted a line from the movie Major League. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Just like us.
Shaka might have went to high school with us. We ain't know. He might have just been a corny boy in the background.
One of them quiet dudes, yeah.
BJ, yo, we got Butler and BCU.
It's tough, man. Essentially, the consensus is so far is Butler. I got to go with Butler, man. They're just more of a balanced team, but I would love to see Shaka do it.
Kill, Butler, VCU.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb and say VCU.
VCU. Kill doing what I usually do. Everybody picked the Lakers, I picked the Heat. But I think I'm going to go with Butler, too. I think VCU is in a situation where they just had a great run. And like you guys said, the things that they've done to be on this run, I don't know if you can keep that up. And Butler plays pretty good defense. So
do they? They go in on defense, guys.
I'm not really sure if they're going to be able to keep that up. We see Brent is on the line. I'm going to get to him in a minute because I'm going to ask him about the UConn game real quick. But Kentucky and UConn, who you got, Jimmy?
I'm going with the best player left, and that's my man Kemba, a.k.a. Danny Manning.
Kemba, the killer, Walker. I think I'm going to go with UConn, too. I like Kentucky. I like the dude with the messed up hairline, Brandon Knight. But like you said, in the tournament, when you have one player, like Broad Street Line call it, the that dude factor, which they have in Kemba, I think their run is going to continue. PJ, who you got?
I think I want to see Kemba and them win, but I think I might go with Kentucky because I think the Midwest boy, Harrelson, is going to make a difference.
Yo, he going too, yo.
Funny that Kemba is just the man on that team, but I actually think the player on that team with the most talent is Lamb.
Lamb looked like he about 16, cuz.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Lamb looked like an ostrich.
It's going to be his
squad. He looked like an ostrich Fraggle Rock. Like an ostrich Fraggle Rock.
I'm going to go with UConn with their run coming out the Big East tournament, and now I'm going to go with UConn.
Okay, so
aren't both of those schools under investigation, like Kentucky and UConn? Like, well, Jim Calhoun already got suspended for next year.
Jim Calhoun got suspended, yeah.
For next year.
And Calipari, he had an investigation every year anyway.
That's like a story waiting to happen. No matter who wins,
Marcus
it's going to be an underdog versus the, yeah, come on, man.
Austin, who you got, UConn or Kentucky?
I'm gonna go UConn, but it's funny. It's for a similar reason, like what you said. Lamb is balling. I don't know how he'll do or step up under a double or triple team, but he's not gonna face that with Kemba on the court, and he's gonna have a lot of open looks. I think he's gonna make a difference. So I go UConn.
All right, so the consensus says that UConn will be back in it, probably with their women. Speaking of their women, we're gonna let the War Room correspondent, Brent Easley, on the line. He's coming on to talk some baseball with us, but he was at the UConn-Duke women's game the other day and was in the press conference. He didn't get to ask a question for War Room Sports, but that's cool. We get him next time. Brent, what's up, man? You on the line?
Hey, what's up, War Room? How y'all doing?
Before we get to this opening day stuff, we just wanted to ask you about the press conference the other day. Anything, you know, crazy gets said in there? Because I know Gino Auriemma, you know, he likes to say some stuff to get people riled up. Was he pretty tame during the press conference?
No, Gino was cool this time. He was good. I mean, you know, it was a impressive victory by Connecticut over Duke. Maya Moore really performed in the first and the second half and blew Duke out after a close game with Georgetown earlier that week. But it was nothing really said by Gino that was really like, you know, eye popping or you would sit back and say, wow,
Brent,
I can't believe you.
I got a quick question.
When the war room has somebody in the house, Gino don't act up, man. That's corny.
Hey, Brent, Jimmy.
What's up, Big Joe?
I just want to know real quick, did any of the women in the press conference, did you notice any Adam's apples?
Hey, Jay, you great. Take it away, man. It's opening day, everybody. It's opening day.
I'm not going to even go there on that one, Jim. What's going on? No, I didn't see any Adam's apples.
All right, that's all I wanted to know. Yo, let's talk some baseball, though. Let's talk some baseball. Yo, it's coming up. So the first thing I want to bring up is somebody in our chat room had brought up a stat that so far this season, and the season just started today, we have 111 major league players that have been injured, including 24 shoulders, 14 elbows, 9 backs, 7 obliques, 5 hamstrings, and 5 fingers. Players are complaining, like, already, and the season started, like, 3 hours ago. So,
you know what that is?
Said,
that's because
like,
they fell back on the steroids because all this testing and stuff right now.
Oh.
Since they stopped juicing and creaming, now their body's breaking down. Straight up. Man. They ain't rubbing that Vaseline on their elbows no more.
They ain't putting that clear
it's
on
black,
there.
Black
clear.
Or being passed around, man.
Yeah.
So
Jim,
the cream and the clear is not there anymore, man. The HDH, so you know, a lot of injuries are gonna be happening.
Yeah,
everybody
wants to come up with something else freaky.
Speaking of,
you know,
y'all know
there's
a new disabled list. They got a 7-day disabled list now. It's supposed to be
yeah, the
like
concussion,
really
concussion disabled list, which I think is a good thing though. You know, you don't want people going back
out
there.
Days.
Say it again.
Yeah, because you don't want to be out 15 days because you got a concussion.
Yeah, not 15 days. I mean, but you see, like Justin Morneau for the Twins, he was out. You know, he got hit in Toronto. He was out for basically the rest of the season. So you never know how bad the concussion could be.
He out until like tomorrow. That's his first game back.
You're right. You're definitely right.
So before Jimmy get into the divisions, we break down the divisions. There were 6 games on the docket today, and 5 of them already have come to an end. Atlanta beat the stinking Nationals 2-0. The Yankees beat Detroit 6-3. I was watching that game, and Granderson hit a home run that might not have fallen yet.
He hit a shot. Right, so, yeah.
6. And the Angels beat the Royals 4-2, the Royals starting out like usual. And San Diego beat St. Louis in 11 innings, 5-3.
Yeah, just watch the game right there. Yeah, they just won an extra inning shot.
San Francisco played the Dodgers at 8 o'clock, so that'll be
that's the game I'm interested in seeing right there because, you know, those two teams don't like each other.
Right.
And especially
right,
after the Giants won the World Series last year. You know, the blood's going to be boiling a little bit more.
So go ahead, Jim. Let's break down some of these divisions and who everybody thinks is going to come out of them. We got to do this kind of quick.
Mr. Easley, let's just go through each division and you know, give me your thoughts on who you. As a matter of fact, just give me your winners of each division. Let's start with the AL West. And
AL West, everybody's talking the Oakland A's. I still like the Rangers. I think the Josh Hamilton, and even though they don't have Cliff Lee, they were still in first place last year before they got Cliff Lee. So I think the Rangers are still like the team to beat in that division right there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, though, because the A's added some people. You know, they added Hideki Matsui, Josh Willingham from the Nationals, David DeJesus, and they got a pretty good starting rotation. But I'm with you. I got Texas winning that division with Oakland bringing up the rear, but coming in second. I got the Angels coming in third and Seattle bringing up the rear.
Okay.
We actually asked somebody in the chat room talking about the Mariners a few weeks ago, didn't we, Jimmy?
Yeah.
The Mariners stink.
they got some young talent on the team, but they're really not going to be able to compete.
Yo, the Mariners smell like a piss-infested food stamp.
They have possibly the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, they'll be getting rid of him by the trade deadline probably, too.
They got Felix and I know Brent don't.
He's gonna be, he's gonna be a Yankee.
I actually do. I mean, you know, he won the Cy Young with basically a .500 record last year. So he's the man. He just played for a sorry team. You put him on like the Phillies or the Yankees or the Red Sox or one of them teams. You know, he's 25-game winner probably. So you know, He's a good player. He's a great player. He's
well,
a great
well,
player.
Well, real quick, let me just go around. Let me just go around the room and get everybody's pick for the first place. You're not gonna give me Dev. You say Texas. Easily, you say Texas. I was going to say Texas, but since y'all going to say Texas, I'm gonna say Oakland just to be different. Bayon, you got any thoughts, Bayon?
I think the Rangers. I got the Rangers taking that division. I mean, especially you know being in Texas and you know them talking about them all the time, and they were crying when Cliff Lee left. But like you said, they were killing the division before Cliff Lee came.
Somebody gonna hand Josh Hamilton some blow, and that's gonna mess the whole season up. PJ, what's your thought?
I'm gonna go with the Athletics because I think the additions that they made in the off season, I think they're gonna sneak up on some people. Like a lot of people do think that it's over for the Rangers because they lost Cliff Lee and this and that. And I think it's gonna be competitive, but I think it's gonna come down to those two. And I think that Oakland is gonna actually win that division.
Okay, Austin, you got any thoughts?
I'm gonna say Oakland.
Cool, 3-3. All right, let's move to another division, Mr. Easley. Let's talk about the AL Central. And what are your thoughts on the AL Central?
White.
I'm kind of conflicted. I'm kind of like the White Sox. And I'm looking at the White Sox and the Tigers, I think, because it's I think like Jim Leland, they talked to Jim Leland in the spring training. I think they got a – they. He has to prove something this year because it was the last year of his contract, him and the GM. And I think they have a good team. So I think I'm going to pick the Tigers on that one. I'm going to pick the Tigers in that division right there.
I got an even better pick than that. I'm going with
the
Royals. Psych!
F-O-H.
No, you
don't.
I'm about to say, what? The Royals?
The Royals.
I'm about to say, Oscar Robertson came back?
They must have got Wilt playing. They must have got Wilt pitching.
I'm gonna go with the White Sox because, they returned a lot of people from last year, and they added Adam Dunn from the Nationals.
Yeah,
couldn't retain.
Yeah, that was a pickup.
Now, we know Adam Dunn is not a defensive player, so he's gonna be the designated hitter, and that's a lot
what
of power
done?
Added to that lineup. So I'm gonna go with the White Sox.
Okay, that's what I say. I like the
you're
Obamas.
Speaking the Dunn language.
Yeah. I like the Obamas, man. I got the White Sox.
Got the Obamas.
The Obamas.
Nobody messing with the Twins, huh? Dr. Bay, what you got?
Yo, I got the White Sox. I got the White Sox because of the addition of Adam Dunn. And Ozzie Guillen and their owner go hard.
Yo, Ozzie Guillen go real hard.
I'm strictly picking the White Sox just because of Ozzie Guillen, and that's pretty much it. Austin, who you got?
I begin selling coke right now somewhere.
I'm gonna go with the White Sox because Frank Thomas used to play there, and my man.
What are you talking about, man?
Bo Jackson, the greatest athlete I ever saw. All right, go ahead.
All right, let's move on, though. Mr. Easley, this is a tough one now. It's not really tough. I already know what you're going to say because everybody's on their bandwagon. The AL East.
It's Red Sox, man. They got the best lineup in baseball, man, and they pitch the staff.
Top to bottom,
from 1 to 9, they got the best lineup in baseball, man. And the pitching is pretty good, too.
That bothers me, yo. That just bothers me because I hate the way people in – that just bothers me. I mean, you're probably telling the truth,
yeah,
but I hate
Bostonian
the way people in Boston talk.
Yeah.
They say smile.
Yeah.
He says he's real smart.
The Boston Tea Patty. Got to go to the Boston Tea Patty.
Yo, Boston is stacked. Like, they're stacked. The only thing that worries me is the bullpen with Papelbon as the closer because he's been erratic. But they got Bobby Jenks in the offseason. And Daniel Barr, he's the setup guy. He's probably going to be the closer of the future anyway. So he acts up during the season. He's going to be out of there. So he'll be demoted.
You stay in Boston. Dev, who you got, Dev?
I kind of think, like, because of in New York, it's just shaky pitching after CeCe. And for once, New York didn't land any major free agents in the offseason. And the lineup is kind of old. So I don't see how you can – for the people out there who don't know what Boston did in the off season, they they picked up Carl Crawford and traded for Adrian Gonzalez. They still have one of the strongest staffs, pitching staffs in the league with Josh Beckett, John Lackey, John Lester, Clay Buchholz, and I can't even pronounce Matt Suzaka's first name. But and then they even got a sixth starter if you need him, and Tim Wakefield, the knuckleballer. So I'm with Brent on this, man. I'm going to have to go with the Red Sox overtaking the Yankees this year and winning that division, man. The rotation
is
strong.
Okay, so you got the Red Sox. Brent got the Red Sox. PJ, who you got?
Now, I hate to root for anything Boston because it's been notoriously one of the most racist cities in the history of America. But because of what Brent and Dev said, I got Boston, man. They just too diesel right now.
Yeah,
Yankees
they is diesel.
Isn't proof enough, man. Yankees, the best thing they did was what?
Yeah.
Russell Martin and a relief pitcher? Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
but Soriano, I mean, he's going to be a good setup guy because he saved all those games for Tampa Bay last year. So I think that's
going to bolster the today, though. Jabba came out and dominated today.
Yeah, he pitched pretty well. He did.
Let me see. Dr. Bay, who you got, Dr. Bay?
Yo, I got Boston to piggyback off what Dev said, but with Jacoby, if Jacoby Ellsbury stays healthy, I think that's a great addition. He played for them last year, but he was hurt. But I think he can make them formidable to probably make it to the World Series.
Yo, everybody's picking Boston, so I got to go different. Not that I believe, because Boston is stacked, but I'm picking the Tampa Bay Rays. Even after losing a superstar, I'm picking the Rays, I think the Rays got some good pitching, yo.
Crawford used to Brody bases and runs for them, though.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I'm still picking
Crawford.
That's
like,
my upset.
That's like the momentum guy that they lost, you know? He gets the momentum of stolen base or something like that.
I'm not picking Boston, yo. Even though I think Boston is probably the best team in baseball, I'm not picking. I refuse to pick Boston. Austin, who you got?
Yo, I'm picking the Baltimore Orioles.
But
for real, Tampa Bay Rays, because, I like Juan Cruz and Corey Wade, and my man Evan Longoria, he got a hot last name. And they got my man Manny, and they got Johnny King.
Yo, real quick, let's move fast to this. Just give me your pick. NL West, who you got? Mr. Ely, NL West, who you got?
I still got the Giants.
Still got the Giants? Okay, Dev, who you got?
Pitching. Got to go with the Giants.
PJ, who you got?
The Uglies, the Giants.
Dr. Bay, who you got?
I got the Rockies.
Ooh, okay, Austin, who you got?
I got the Colorado Rockies.
Yo, I'm picking that ugly team, San Francisco, just because I want to see them again in the playoffs. Now, let's move on to the NL. Let's go to the NL Central first. NL Central. It's easy. Who you got in the
Red.
NL Central?
Reds.
The Reds. Okay, Dev, who you got?
Yeah, I think Wainwright being out for the season hurts the Cardinals. The Reds bringing a lot of people back, including the NL MVP, Joey Votto. I'm going with Cincinnati.
Yo, me personally, real quick, I'm going with the Milwaukee Brewers and my homie Prince Fielder. PJ, who you going with?
I'm going to go with the Reds just because of the way they won today with the walk-off. That's how they played last year, and I think they're going to keep doing it.
They won like 13 that last year.
I'm picking Milwaukee based on what I call this the Derek Coleman theory. It's Prince Fielder. It's his contract year. And every contract year, if you look back at Derek Coleman's career, every contract year he played like one of the top 10 players of all time. And then he chilled after he got his contract. So that's my Derek Coleman theory. And Prince Fielder's going to be a free agent, so I'm picking Milwaukee. Dr. Bayon, who you got?
I got the Reds.
Austin?
I got the Pirates because my man Jeff Clemente is going to rock.
Shout out to Clancy.
Yo, real quick, all right.
Shout out to
this
Bobby
last Bonilla. One. I want to see, I mean, do we even have to go through this last one, though, seriously? I mean, let's talk
you
about
know
NLE.
What it is, baby.
NLE.
You know what it is?
Easily. Easily. I don't even got to ask you, Easily. You're a homer. Who you going to take, Easily?
I think the Phillies will win the division. Faithful starting pitcher.
Yo, Brent, you picked the Phillies to win the division when their best player was like Glenn Wilson. So I shouldn't
That's
even ask
Von
you.
Hayes.
And Juan Samuel with Jose Davies.
I think the Phillies are going to struggle a little this year with the oldest lineup in baseball, with all the injuries. It's going to be a lot of pressure on those pitchers. But, I mean, it's just the NL East, so, and the Mets stink. Santana's out for a while.
What about
Dan Ugler. And the Braves, you know, I don't know what's up with Chipper. I don't even know why he came back. You know, I'm actually a fan of his. And what's the dude's name? The black dude?
Hayward.
David Justice.
Hayward.
Hayward Justice. This COVID dude.
He's a beast. I'm going with Philly. I'm going with Philly to win the division.
Okay, Austin, who you got? I mean, Austin, yeah, Austin, who you
Yo,
got?
Yo, Atlanta got a player named Chipper. Marshall Faulk them. Florida Marlins can't get it done. They're a fish. The New York Mets are in New York, and the Washington Nationals are a double-A team. So that only leaves one team in the NL East that's really a team. Come on, man. We get it done on Broad Street. Holla.
I heard that. I heard that. Dr. Bayon, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with the Phillies.
Okay. And PJ, do I need to ask you?
You don't need to ask me. 80% of the time, we're going to be throwing out an ace. So I think we should win 80% of our games.
Yo, I'm going to give you my theory.
My friend.
Yo, well, I'm going to give you all my pick. Let me give you my pick on the NL East. I think there's only two good teams in the NL East, and one of them is Atlanta, but I refuse to pick Atlanta because in the city of Atlanta, all the men like men. So, therefore, I have to pick the Philadelphia Phillies.
So wait,
in Atlanta,
Jimmy,
all
so
the men is women.
So, Jimmy, so what you're saying is all the men in Atlanta take batting practice.
Are women. All the women, all the men in Atlanta – bend over.
Hey, well, hold up, y'all, because we out of time and we got a couple more things. I'm just give y'all my. I'm gonna go with the Twins getting the wild card over the Yankees. I'm gonna go with the Rockies getting the wild card over the Cardinals in the National League. I got a Phillies Red Sox World Series, and I got the Red Sox winning the whole thing.
Ooh.
And I'm gonna
easily,
go with
just give me your World Series and tell me who you got in the World Series. The top two teams.
Okay, well, let me give you a wild card. Wild card, I got the White Sox, and I got the and I got the Braves in the National League. And my World Series,
okay.
I got the Red Sox over the Phillies.
Damn, man. Come on, y'all. Dr. Bay, who you got?
I got Phillies over Rangers. Cliff Lee drama.
he's building a story over there. Austin, who you got?
Man, I got the Phillies over whoever.
PJ, who you got?
I buttress Austin's point.
Yo, I think that I'm gonna take the same World Series, Phillies Red Sox, and I think the Phillies are going to win, and I think it's going to be J-Roll as the MVP. I think J-Roll going to come through in the World Series. Only two people that think that is me and J-Roll.
I hope he got some cream.
And preferably some clear.
I don't know. Our lineup showed me something last year in the playoffs that I didn't necessarily like. So,
and that's the fact that Ryan Howard is still waiting to swing.
Ryan Howard became a photographer.
My man's about to take up photography. Just as good as ours, I think we might be in a world of trouble. Of course, I hope differently, but that's what I think. Jimmy, take us something out of here, dog.
All right, still looking out, Dr. Easley. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for joining us in the War Room. We hope you enjoyed the show. Special thanks to everybody in the chat room and everybody who added tonight's show on Facebook and such. Check us out same time next week, same place, on Thursday. And we'll catch you up on all the big sports stories. Everybody have a great opening day, a great opening weekend. And next week, we're going to scream at you.
Get at it.
trained in the Hebrews for my devotion. Bring out my deepest emotions, overdosing, wanna be potion, sending them through convulsions, too hard to follow. You took a bite but couldn't swallow, your mind's boggled, but I'm as deep as Donald Goins' novels. My whole persona is kinda lay back like a banana, and since I'm honor, I've been fucking with marijuana. Wavy here, my skin got a money getting clear, strictly men is weird, macking off again is fear, so where it all begins is here. Destiny and me finally meet, so how could I be weak? I'm rather unique. I'm on some flip shit, ready to let my clips fit. Fanatical vocals release shells like automatic. True music's magical, causing any battles to be tragical. Sound got a sound sick as hell, sick of the sickle cell anemia. Slaughtering your circulatory like leukemia. Feel velocity, who want parts to me? I'm vicious, mad malicious, cause it's real on this fold of bitches. I got this bastard, other rappers are grafted. Weak and wicked, camouflaging this killer's how they seek and kick it. Peep this uniqueness, non-believers, I'm leaving speechless. Left to choke us, this skunk smoke was coming through the speakers. Surgically nice, with any verbal device, twice. Weaving life into mice, my sights beyond a twilight. So die, fight, no surrender, no retreat. Technique, speak, I'm rather unique.